Chapter 7, verse 1. Well, in that last lesson, chapter 6, we learned where you have to be careful. You don't want to give pledges to anyone. You don't want to co-sign for anyone. You don't want to deal with a wicked person. You don't want to be a naughty person who becomes a wicked person. You want to listen to the commands of your father and listen to the teachings of the mother, and you want to handle things correctly. Well, here as we pick up in chapter 7, Solomon is adding on to that same information. He says, "My son, keep my words. Treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, 'You are my sister,' and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words." Solomon is very interesting here. He's pleading for Rehoboam to hear his words and to live his life in freedom from all those sins that could occur without making the same mistakes that Solomon is warning Rehoboam about. So Solomon has made all these mistakes. He says, "Listen to my commands and the teachings and use them like the apple of your eye." Now, it's interesting. We know that we see through the pupil of our eye, but in Solomon's day, they did not call it a pupil. They called it an apple. That is a very good translation of it. The apple of your eye. The apple of your eye is what you use that allows you to see everything that you need to see, and yet it is so very tender that it can be damaged. Damaged, there's one little flick of a stone or something like that, the eye can become useless. Solomon wants Rehoboam to see all the dangers and to run from them and to run from every danger so that he can escape and he can live without the consequences that come from indulging in danger. Solomon says, "Bind the things that I'm telling you on your fingers." In other words, he says, put this instruction out there in front of you and tie them so that whenever you're using them, you can see what's coming because you've had the warning and it's out there in front of you. And use that with everything that you do in life. Always use what has been taught to you to warn you about things, to protect you about things in your life. Protection. To this day, I will never forget the day I was 8 years old. My dad had to go up to the corporate office in Dallas for Cameron Lumber Company. And as we went, we had to go up off of a street in Dallas, which because Cameron Lumber's headquarters was actually in already by that time was in a bad part of Dallas. And I never will forget, it was the middle of the summer, and as we were driving down the road, I noticed that there were these women who had on fur coats in the summertime. And I said to Dad, "Dad, it's hot. What are them women doing all with fur coats?" And just about that time, one of those women caught my eye and I caught her eye, and she took her coat and she opened it and she closed it. And I said, "Oh, Dad, that woman's naked." What my father said next has been a warning to me all of my life. He said to me, probably not what you would think, but he said this to me, "Son, you want to make sure you never go shopping unless you intend to buy. It took me a while to gather what he was saying, but it has guarded my feet all these years. I don't even go to the mall unless I'm intending to buy, and that wasn't his purpose in saying that to me. But it has guided me." Yeah, Because I have that instruction right out there in front of me. And anytime something happens, I have it there in front of me. In front of me. Bind them on your fingers. Because the teachings of my father, the teaching of the scripture, the teachings of my mother are right out there to guard and protect me. Write them on your heart, he says, Rehoboam. You need to understand, Rehoboam, it's the soul that dictates between good and evil. It's the soul that directs what those hands will do and those eyes will do and the lips will do. It is the soul that is either clean or filthy. It is the soul that is either godly or godless. It is the soul that is either honest or dishonest. It is the soul that directs the path of a man to or from sin. To or from. Wisdom and understanding must become our dearest friends. And they will protect us from evil. And they will keep us on a direct path, even though sometimes as we're scanning, we'll want to go off the path. Solomon then says, he gives a personal testimony to Rehoboam. Solomon says, "For at the window of my house I looked through the lattice." Back in those days, they did not have windows. They did not even close their windows with boards. What they would do is we would use fabric to close the windows in the wintertime, but it was still cold. But besides that, in order to have privacy in the summer times and in the hotter times, they took sticks and made them into what we call lattice. We call lattice, you know, flat boards, that type of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. But in those days, they just wove together sticks that would form a somewhat of a private barrier outside of the window so that you could see out, but people really couldn't see in. So Solomon is looking through this lattice in his window, and he sees a naive young man who is on a path. He said, "I discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense." This young man's on this path, and he's going someplace. Verse 8 says, "Passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way by her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness." You notice it's not daylight. This young man is on his journey going someplace, and lo and behold, she, this adulterous woman, is out on the corner. He says, "And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She may be dressed as a harlot, but she may not be for sale. She may be willing to give away what she's want for what she's wanting. She is boisterous. She is rebellious. In other words, she is out there. She's loud. She's trying to find somebody that she can snare into her web to bring back into her house." It says, "And she is now in the street, now in the square, and lurks by every corner." She's there. She's outside of her house. Solomon's recounting this that he's seen. He's seen this young man who's going down, and she's calling out to him, and he's evidently seen this over and over and over again. And I'm wondering if he's not making this up, that he's not the one that's been caught, because I imagine he has been caught. And what's interesting is, chances are, you need to understand, back in these days, this woman has come out of her house. Chances are this woman has not met her husband until she met him at the wedding ceremony, because her father and the groom's father made a deal, and then the groom was brought into it to see if the groom wanted to marry the girl, but the girl probably doesn't have a say-so in it, and she meets her husband at the wedding ceremony. We have a family in our church that I know of that comes and visits in this class sometimes, and they were married in India, and they met each other at the ceremony. That's where they met, was at the ceremony. You think that's strange. That's not strange around the world. It's actually fairly commonplace. Very common among Jews and in Russia and other places like that, besides in the Middle East and things like that. So she may be married to someone she doesn't like, someone that she's just getting along with. And so when husband's out of town, she goes to find someone of her choosing by going out onto the street corners and to be loud and to try to seduce someone into the darkness of her den, into the darkness of her couch. Says 13, she says, "So she seizes him and kisses him. And with a brazen face, she says to him, 'You know, I was supposed to offer peace offerings. Today I have paid my vows. I've paid the bills, but I was supposed to offer a peace offering. And what she's saying to this young man is, you know, I'm pretty religious. You know, I'm not just dressed like this. You know, I'm really religious. You know, I'm a good girl. I really am. Verse 15 says, therefore, I have come out to meet you and to seek your presence earnestly. And I have found you. I have spread my couch. By the way, they didn't have beds in those days. They called them couch. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. Can't you imagine? Yeah, she comes out of her house. She says, hey, I got some Thousand County Egyptian cotton sheets on my couch. And they've been dyed blue. Dyed colored linens of Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh. That's a little olive oil with a little myrrh inside it for perfume. I have aloes there to moisten the skin. I have cinnamon over in a little wax that's burning over in the corner. I mean, the atmosphere is just perfect. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. In just a few minutes, I'm going to tell you what that verse almost really says. But let's go on. Verse 19 says, for the man is not at home. My husband's not at home, in other words. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. And at full moon, he will come home. It's the middle of the month. He won't be home till the first of the month. My house is available. I've kissed you. I've enticed you. I want you to come in. With her many possessions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. She just takes off and smacks him on the lips. Big old watery kiss. Just, what's a young boy to do? Oh, mercy. Can you believe it? Nothing is new that is going on with her. She knows what she's doing. She's been down this road before. For this young man, everything is fixing to be new that night. He is fixing to be in for the time of his life. Oh, she's trying to show him that she's a good spiritual woman, paying her vows, has to pay a peace offering down at the local tabernacle or the local synagogue or whatever, or down at the temple. She's a good woman. She's religious. She's sweet and kind. She's paid her debts. She is neither good nor is she religious. These are all just ploys, just lies to get her to come into his house, get on her couch with him where it smells like myrrh and there's aloes to moisten the body and the cinnamon over to smell. Oh, the smells just fill the room. It is luxury like this young man can only dream of one day. And she's planning to be there and to be awake all night long as she takes this innocent young man through all the fleshly desires that she has imagined. Verse 18, as I just mentioned, is not a true translation. It is watered down. I am not going to give you a completely true translation. I'm going to water it a little less. It should say this. Verse 18 says in our text, come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. It should say, let us revel in the breasts and let us solace ourselves with love. Let us gratify each other with love with the utmost delights. There's a couple of those words that I have changed to be PG for this class. Because in the Hebrew, it is not PG according to what we would want to hear in this class. Actually, this translation, the literal translation, is more graphic than this, but it's not appropriate here for this commentary or for this class. Nevertheless, this carefully worded translation shows what will come from the character of the soul of an adulterous woman who is out on the trail trying to pick up and do what she wants to do while the husband is out of town. Oh, my, my. We have to guard ourselves with our teachings that have been taught to us from God through our parents and through the Word of God that protects us from these sort of things. Well, next time we meet together, we're going to pick up in chapter 8. And starting chapter 8, Solomon is going to tell us what wisdom has and understanding have to say for herself. She will speak to us, wisdom and understanding, and she will define for us many things that we've only alluded to in these first chapters of the book. But next week we will hear her speak, and wisdom will speak as an I in first person and tell us about how she wants us to live and to interact with her. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time together. We love you so much. Keep us pure. Keep us holy. Keep us safe. Keep us with our paths illumined with light. And not in the night, in the dark, do we find our desires. But we find our desires in the daylight, where we are doing things in the open, to where we know that they are righteous and upright and godly. Lord, we love you. In your name, amen and amen.